Good morning. This is February 26, 2020, and this is The Morning Show, and thanks for tuning in here at 88.5 KRFY Community Radio. I'm Susie Perez. I'm here with my co-host, Chris Bessler, and of course, good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Susie. How are you?
I'm fine. I was thinking, why don't you tell us something good today?
Oh, boy.
I'm putting you on the spot.
Something good. Well, okay. I don't know if you saw the, were able to attend the K9 cake pull.
I did, yes.
But that was like the most fun ever because they had it, every year they have it. And of course, if you're not familiar with it, it's an event that iCarts puts on Cedar Street. And dogs pull kegs appropriately sized to them down a runway and they time it and they have prizes and stuff. And so a lot of people are bringing their dogs and running them in this event. And the kegs are... If it's a Chihuahua, it's like a beer can. So and then a St. Bernard would be pulling a big keg, right? But it was a hoot, and there were at least several hundred people there, and it was just fun for the people and the dogs, and great time. So there's some good news from Sandpoint.
So with that in mind, I'm going to give you a little update on Dexter, the KRFY dog, how he did.
Okay.
He was like the fourth dog down on that morning. He ran down. Well, he kind of trotted. He kind of stopped, and we coaxed him along, and then his person, Julie, pulled him down. And, yeah, he just trotted along and wondered, what is going on? Why are all these people looking at me? But it was really fun. It was a beautiful event for our town. And a kudos out to iCarts. They really put that on. They got all of the infrastructure with the city and the permits and the snow removers and everything. And it just really was a great event.
Yeah, it was the first time they've had it in Cedar Street. You didn't used to be able to close the street to have that in previous years, but they could do that this year, and it was a perfect venue for it, right in front of iCarts. And I will say, out in Sandpoint Online, part of my day job, we put up a little slideshow, and it's been viewed over 10,000 times. So people are really getting a charge out of it.
I know. I actually went there and looked.
Yeah.
So who do we have for guests this morning, Chris?
Well, today we're talking with Marcy Wilson. She's the executive director of the Panhandle Alliance for Education. Marcy, thank you for being here.
My pleasure. Looking forward to it.
And we might have Andre Bircher in as well, but we're going to be talking about Schweitzer Mega Demo Day that's happening up at the mountain. It's a big fundraiser for the Panhandle Alliance for Education, along with being a terrific opportunity for skiers to try out new gear and have a great day on the mountain. So we're going to come back and talk about that. And then later on the show, we're going to talk about other work that the Panhandle Alliance for Education is doing.
Kind of get a little update. Well, let's also do the weather. That's always a fun thing. We've been having some amazing weather. And currently from the National Weather Service, it's 32 degrees out. We have a slight chance of rain, snow, and then a slight chance of rain. And it's only a 20% chance. We have a high today of 42. Tonight, patchy freezing fog with a low of 29. And Thursday, mostly cloudy with a high of 44 and a low Thursday night of 32. But Friday, partly sunny, 50 degrees. And I'll just leave it right there with the weather.
Well, a couple other things going on outside. The sunrise this morning was at 6:35 a.m. It'll set tonight at 5:23 p.m. And these days are getting longer over the course of the past week. We've gained 24 minutes of daylight per day. So that's why everybody's getting more cheerful, I think, just due to the longer days. Up at the night sky, the first quarter moon will be Monday. But if we have clear skies on Thursday and Friday, check out, there'll be a waxing crescent moon that's getting larger, and Venus will be beside it, and Venus is like the super bright star, so it'll be a glorious sight to behold in the skies.
Sounds good.
Yeah, and other things going on around town. How about a Sandpoint City Minute?
Well, I can give you that, Chris, from the desk of Jennifer Stapleton, a Sandpoint City Minute. Spring has nearly sprung, which means it's time for an update on the second phase of the downtown revitalization project. You are invited to join the city at 8 a.m. Thursday, March 12th at the Little Panada Theater, where city staff will give an update on where the project is at and the timeline for spring construction. Also, The community is invited to participate in the selection of artwork for the Utility Box Wrap Project, sponsored by Sandpoint Teachers Credit Union in collaboration with the Sandpoint Arts Commission and Sandpoint Historical Preservation Commission. One utility box will feature the artwork selected by the public. I think there's something like 24 utility boxes, but one of the artwork that will wrap these boxes will be selected by the public. You can select your favorite from the variety of, I think there's like 95 submissions for artwork. You can go to opentownhall.com/8313, or I think you can go to the city website and also find it there. The survey will close at 11:59 p.m. on March 20th.
Okay. Survey. Speaking of surveys, the annual media survey is in its last week. And if you're a listener of KRFY, and we especially want to encourage you to go take the media survey. It's put on by Sandpoint Alliance, Sandpoint Reader each year. And it's actually a pretty good, hundreds of people take the survey. It gives us a pretty good measure for what people are reading and listening and watching in our community, and it's a tool for the different, even KRFY, to get feedback and find out what sorts of things people want to, their media, local media, to be covering.
We hope that you'll take the survey and keep your favorite community radio station in mind when you're on that survey. You can go to our website at krfy.org. Thanks to Keoki, we have a link there on our website. And where else can you go, Chris?
Or Sandpoint Reader, Sandpoint Line. You'll find links to go take the survey on any of those. Yeah, coincidentally, you could win $100 because there's a drawing. If you want to get in the drawing, you don't have to leave your name. You just take it anonymously. But if you want a chance to win $100 at McDuff's and iCarts, that's part of it too. And I wanted to mention one other thing. The elections are gearing up now. Our presidential primary in Idaho is March 10th. But we have a second primary for county and state offices, which is May 19th. So we have two different primaries to vote in this year. If you want to get information, it's a little confusing, actually. If you want to get information on that, you can go to Sandpoint Alliance Election Central. It's just been updated with a bunch of current information on all the races that we'll be in. We have two county commission seats and the county prosecuting attorney is up for election this year, plus, of course, the District 1 legislative seats. There are this is the primary election. It's May 19th for these offices, and there are contested races already for the Republican primary and commissioner District 1 and the state representative position B. So there'll be, I'm sure, more candidates. The candidates have until, I think, March 13th to file for office. So as of March 13th, we'll know who exactly is going to be on the ballot.
And the good news is, next Tuesday, Julie Calamine and myself will take a look at local election requirements, dates, and deadlines. Our guests will be Bonner County Clerk Mike Rosedale and Senior Election Supervisor Charlie Worm. So tune in next Tuesday to the morning show. That's at 8 a.m. And we're going to disseminate all that information you just sort of mentioned there, because it's important that we are involved electorates. And So we'll bring you the info. And also Sandpoint Online, I have to say, that site for Election Central is really helpful. Mm-hmm. I go there quite a bit to get information. And also, once the candidates have, we know who's running in the primary that's in May, we'll have, what do we have, Local Decision 2020.
That's right. Here on KRFY, we're going to be scheduling interviews with the candidates for the contested races. If the race is uncontested, we probably won't be interviewing them for the primary. But we'll be doing that in the weeks leading up to the election. Of course, we don't know really who's running until that March 13th date, and then we'll start scheduling those.
Yeah. So stay with Local Decision 2020 here at 88.5 KRFY. And that's what I have to say.
And, of course, there's a lot of other things going on around town. There's a PAY fundraiser at IPA. Is that correct, Marcy?
Actually, it's not a fundraiser. No. It's just a celebration for our teachers.
Okay. Yeah. And that's at Idaho Poor Authority tonight, right?
Tonight yep. starts at 4.
And there's a bunch of music happening around town. One I thought I'd be interested to, people might be interested in hearing about is Beatles versus Stones musical showdown. There's two bands, two tribute bands are going to be facing off. One's going to be playing Beatles stuff, and the other one's going to be playing Rolling Stones cover songs, and it ought to be kind of a fun night. That's at the Panda Theater on Friday. And there's a lot of other things going on around town. Hit our calendars on KRFY.org to see what's happening in town.
Absolutely. And go to our Facebook page at KRFY on Facebook and like us, and you'll get little updates about what we're doing here at the radio station.
And with that, let's get on to today's topic. With again, we have Marcy Wilson. She's Executive Director of the Panhandle Alliance for Education. Marcy, thanks again for being here. And first topic to talk about is this event that's happening this Saturday up at Schweitzer. It's called Schweitzer Mega Demo Day. You want to give us the description of what this is about?
Well, let's start with just a mega means
huge.
Big.
Yeah,
it's great big, and it's the biggest it's ever been in multiple years. There's over 22 vendors, both ski vendors and board vendors. I don't know that there's ever been anything published with the actual list of vendors. I'm happy to share that with the listeners if they'd like, because sometimes people are interested in trying one unique
sure.
pair of skis.
Yeah, yeah. Let's hear about it. So this is the types of skis, the manufacturers of all kinds of different types of skis that you'd be able to try out.
Right. They come with tens of hundreds of skis collectively. And what happens is people that sign up have the opportunity to try between 6 and 8 pairs of skis, depending on how fast they are, how fast they ski, and then come back to swap them out. Here is a list of the ski vendors that'll be there: Atomic, Salomon, Rossi, Dynastar, Nordica, Blizzard, Vocal, K2, Line, Stockley, On3P, and Head. So those are well known, and the skis are going to be beautiful, in great shape. Some of them are this year's skis, and some of them are you can demo for next year if you're interested in purchasing. There will be some purchases available. This is a partnership with the Alpine Shop as well. Zach Vollmer has really been the energy behind getting these vendors there. And 2 years ago, Rory Whitney of 7B Board joined this wonderful opportunity, and now we have about 8 board vendors attending as well. Many of them are similar. I'm just going to name them quickly: Arbor, Jones, Salomon, Mervin, Capita, Rome, Burton, Nitro, and Rossi. So again, top-notch ski equipment, and for the price of a ticket, which is currently available online. Online will close tonight, but if you go out to the Eventbrite website and type in Mega Demo Day, you can sign up, and there's also a little discount if you sign up today. Online registration closes tomorrow so that we can communicate with everyone that has signed up online. We have over 100 signed up already, which is very encouraging. It's a very good number, and the majority actually show up on Saturday mm-hmm. and do the registration.
Just to understand a little bit more, so you buy a ticket to go to the demonstration and try, you said, 6 different kinds of skis, and then you get to ski.
And then you ski on the new skis, and if you're interested in buying a certain type, you can try multiple vendors in a row on the same type of snow, so you can really get a good comparison and feeling about, you know, whether that is the ski for your next purchase.
For a skier, it's probably a great opportunity, because when else do you get to try something like
exactly,
that?
Exactly. It's become a really popular event. The vendors set up a tent right in front of the Selkirk Lodge, and so there's about 20 to 40 tents out there. Some vendors have 2 tents. And you register at the Caribou Room and get your DINs checked to make sure that you're certified by someone that knows how to check your settings, so that when you enter the gate for these the opportunity to try on these skis, you're set to go, and the vendors are confident that the DIN numbers that need to be adjusted are appropriate for that skier. So we keep a gate because this is not open to the public. It's only available for people that have registered and paid a contribution that actually comes to the Panhandle Alliance for Education. That's our fundraising part of it. But it's a wonderful event. These are very enthusiastic skiers. They have a great time. At the end of the day, there's a beer for everyone that's registered. And this is, like I say, the fourth year, and it just becomes bigger and bigger every year. And we're very grateful to Schweitzer and all the work they put into this, and Alpine Shop and 7B Board for the work that they do to help the Panhandle Alliance for Education.
And how many years have we done this?
This is the fourth.
Fourth year. Mm-hmm. It's grown a little bit each year.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah, we have a lot of people that come back, and those are typically the ones that sign up online. I think this year it was a little dicey because we've had fits and spurts with the weather, but it looks like we're going to get a little snow today up at Schweitzer, and possibly even a little snow on Saturday. So the snow is really good, and I think that's why we've had a lot of enthusiasm this last mm-hmm. week. It's looking good.
Yeah, actually, I can testify. I went up and checked the mountain out just for this. Not really.
Well, that's okay. I appreciate okay. that, and I appreciate that plug on the snow.
But the snow, the conditions, actually, the mountain's in really good shape. They have a good snow coverage. And I'm just checking the forecast is actually a 20% chance of snow today. And then Friday, there's a 30% chance of snow, and Saturday, there's an 80% chance of snow. So pretty good chance we might have some fresh snow down to try these skis out on.
Yeah, it's really a perfect storm, so to speak, in a good way.
So it's kind of a loose deal, right? I mean, you go in, you ski at your pace. You don't have to try six or eight different pairs of skis. You could
we do ask that you don't keep the skis longer than an hour, because okay. there might be someone waiting for that particular model.
To try
the
that
idea
one out.
Is yep. to, you know, ski multiple.
So a turnover. But you could, yeah. An hour's enough time to take three runs easily.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
On a pair of skis if you find a pair that you like. And it's interesting that you have snowboards. When did snowboards come on to the
They weren't the there mix. The first year, but we yeah. had requests.
Okay.
And then Rory Whitney at 7B kind of joined, and the first year we had a couple, and then a couple more, and now they're here in a big way.
Yeah, I
so
would imagine.
Be a lot of opportunity for boarders to, yeah. to experience.
Yeah, I actually have an Arbor board, and you said Arbor's going to be there, so
well, there you go.
Might have to see what the new stuff is like.
So one question I have, because I'm not a skier, is how fun is it for a skier to be able to try different new skis? I don't have that concept, but in the skiing world or snowboarding world, mm-hmm. is it really fun? Chris, you might know, to
yes,
try new stuff.
Yes, it is fun, Susie.
Is it? Okay. Well, I mean, you know what I'm saying.
Well, the thing is, different skis and different snowboards, they really perform differently.
Oh, okay.
And you can try... I'm sure they'll have all different types of skis, all fat skis, and they'll have skis that are designed for groomers. And you can get a ski, try different types of skis that might suit the type of skiing you like to do.
Oh.
Some folks like to get off and do powder skiing, and they like a different type of ski than somebody that's skiing, say, groomers. And I got to say, I'm not a super big equipment guy. I tend to buy stuff and use it for years until it's kind of worn out. Before I get more stuff, but this particular event is great for anybody that's considering to buy a pair of skis in the next year or two, because you can try out a ton of different types. You try them on the snow. It's not like looking at them in on the shelf, right?
That's really
in
the difference.
Yeah.
Right. It's right
up there.
I would
say the majority tend to be ski enthusiasts, mm-hmm. that they can tell the difference of skis, especially on the same snow that day. And it's a rare opportunity to be able to do this. And so the people that are really into skis, I mean, I just talk about my daughter because she has about 8 pairs of skis and she knows exactly which pair to take for which conditions. And she's an enthusiast and she loves to talk about them and she loves to talk to vendors and get the inside story. And it is really fun for somebody that is really into it.
I get that now. Mm-hmm. That's perfect.
Okay. So how about the nuts and bolts? What time should people get up there? How long does it run? What about transportation up? Mm-hmm. What's the best strategy here?
Yeah, the best strategy is to come and pre-register Friday afternoon if you're in the area. There are long lines Saturday morning typically because people are just want to get out there and start. So we do pre-registration on Friday at starting around 3 and it goes till around 6:30, I think. Again, in the Caribou Room, you can come in, you can get your DIN numbers checked, you can fill out the paperwork, there's a waiver to sign, you get your sticker, you get your pass, you get your free raffle tickets and your beer ticket, and you're ready to go in the morning. The gates actually open at 8 to begin checking out the skis, and this is outside, and then the lifts start at 9, I believe, so you have about an hour to get your gear on and head up to the lift, and then you can maximize the experience by starting at the get-go. And it ends, we want all the skis back in by 3 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And the last skis go out at 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. And of course, there is parking up on the mountain. Though I will say the bus is a great way to get up there. You can park down at the bottom by the Red Barn and take the bus. I will also say that because the bus has gotten more popular, that it departs every 30 minutes from the Red Barn, that you should aim to get there at least 15 minutes before the departure of the bus, because it's been kind of standing room only, and this particular event might bring a lot of people in early.
Yes, so, I think that's a really good point. We're going to be there really early, so there won't be a bus for us, but we're recommending our volunteers and anyone participating take the bus. You, just remember, you have to bring your boots. We're not providing boots. Wear your own boots on this. So
when you get a pair of skis to try, how long do you get to keep that pair?
Well, we'd like you to turn it in within an hour.
Okay. So it's an all-day trial.
Well, it is. We want them all back by 3.
Okay.
So from 9 a.m. when the lifts start operating till 3 o'clock. It's a long day, especially if you're swapping out skis every hour.
Mm-hmm. And as you said, if you find that perfect pair of skis, they may have it there for sale.
They may. The vendor is an option, I believe, and also Alpine Shop has sold some of their demo skis as well.
And I'm sure 7B Board Shop would do the same for snowboards as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So are you a skier, Marcy?
Not so much anymore. I've kind of pushed back on the skiing just... variety of reasons.
The other thing, if you're listening and you haven't been up to, and you are a skier, but you haven't been up the mountain this year, the two new chairlifts in the North Bowl have really changed the whole ski dynamic of the North Bowl. And not only is it the two new chairlifts, which replaced old Chair 6, or Snow Ghost, as it was called, changed the way you ski the mountain, but they gladed out. They thinned out an awful lot of trees, and there's a whole bunch of new terrain that wasn't very accessible previously. And so far, everybody I'm talking to are kind of in love with the changes back there.
I've heard the same, especially when it comes, I mean, there are very rarely lines out there anyway, but now the skiers have actually been dispersed across the mountain a little more evenly, and I understand it's just a fabulous experience.
It's interesting because Schweitzer just last week sent out a news release that said their Sunday, February 16th ski day was the most skiers ever, 6,600 mm-hmm. skiers on the mountain.
Wow.
And I was up there that day. And I will say this, we hit lines a couple times, mm-hmm. but and I only skied the morning because it was getting a little bit crowded. And living in town, if you have a 5-minute wait, it's like, oh my God, that's a big line. Compared to ski resorts, in Utah or California, well, there where it's not uncommon to wait in line for 30 minutes.
Hour. I've waited in California for an hour, which means you get 7 runs in an entire day. This is just unbelievably
And Schweitzer, I can pretty well guarantee it, even though they'll probably have a few extra skiers on the mountain because of Mega Demo Day, the lines will be just a few minutes of waiting time because you're right. Skiers spread out over the mountain. They have high-speed lifts now that move the skiers up really quickly. And it's pretty amazing situation for us locals to enjoy that we have this great mountain with almost never any waiting. So it's pretty nice.
Well, that's fantastic to hear about that record, too. That just speaks volumes about the success of what Schweitzer's been doing the last couple of years.
Yeah, and Schweitzer has been on an amazing program to upgrade the mountain, if you will, with the building of the Sky House at the top of the mountain with the restaurant. I don't know if you've been up there, but it's really quite a good restaurant. There's good food up there. And, of course, they have a beer room with beer on tap to be had as well. And then, of course, the change with on the backside with the new lifts this year. So, yeah, Schweitzer's really been bringing it on.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's a wonderful opportunity for the Panhandle Alliance for Education in the sense that it is a fundraiser, and we get a lot of opportunity to talk to people about our schools and about what's happening with our schools and why we do this kind of fundraising and the difference that it makes in our schools. So
it's so a win-win. That, speaking of the fundraising part of this, so you're getting a portion of the fee, I presume, the registration fee, is going to Panhandle Alliance for Education.
Well, we get everything after expenses are covered. So it's 100% of the profit. And that generally hits between $15,000 and $25,000. So it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Oh, congratulations. Thank you. Perfect fundraiser.
Yeah.
And, okay, so again, this is Saturday. Mm-hmm. Right now, people can buy a ticket. Mm-hmm. So tell us again how people can access this fantastic opportunity.
Well, two ways. Online today. But if you want to come up Friday after 3 and register and pay, you can do that. Or Saturday morning, registration opens actually at 7 a.m. We'll be in the Caribou Room from 7 a.m. until 10. And kind of registration closes at 10. But it will actually move to the Selkirk Lodge, and for anybody that comes in late, we'll make sure they get directed to the Selkirk Lodge. You can still register after that, but it's kind of eating into your day already if you register at that point. So,
and you mentioned online. Where would they go online?
You go to Eventbrite. Eventbrite is actually the tool we've used since the get-go to handle the online registrations. You can also buy your lift ticket on Eventbrite at that same time that you register. There's a fair amount of information that you need to fill out. We try and collect as much as we can online so that makes it easier for or when you arrive to actually check in and get your DIN number checked. And
Okay, and I was just checking online here. You do have a link from your Facebook page, the Panhandle Alliance. So if you're on Facebook, go ahead and go to Panhandle Alliance for Education, and you'll be able to find a link there to get tickets at Eventbrite. And with that, well, so we're talking this morning with Marcy Wilson, Executive Director of the Panhandle Alliance for Education. We've been talking about Schweitzer Mega Demo Day, if you've just tuned in. But we have more to talk about with some questions about the work that you're doing right now with the Panhandle Alliance for Education, Marcy. So I think we want to take a little musical break.
Are you up for that, Marcy, a little musical break? We talked about a song about sunshine. And by the way, this is 88.5 KRFY, and thanks for tuning in to the morning show. We're going to hear a song by George Harrison, whose birthday was yesterday. He was born in 1943, so he'd be 76 years old. Can you imagine the old Beatles? They're still would still be rocking, right? So this is Here Comes the Sun. We'll be right back and hear all about PAFE. That's the Panhandle Alliance for Education. Stay with us and enjoy George Harrison. Here Comes the And that was George Harrison, Here Comes the Sun, and you are tuned in to 88.5 KRFY. This is The Morning Show with Chris Bessler and Susie Prez, and we are here with Marcy Wilson, from the Executive Director of Panhandle Education Alliance for Education, and we've been talking about a really big fundraiser that they've got going on at Schweitzer this Saturday, Mega Demo Days, but now we're going to switch over and talk about what, Chris?
Well, I tell you what, we've been talking about Panhandle Alliance for Education, but why don't you give us the short story on what PAFE, as we call it, is all about, Marcy?
Yeah. The Panhandle Alliance for Education is really a classic local foundation to support public education in our community. So we do things, we have a board of 25 people, it's a very hardworking board, and we do things in the community to kind of embrace our schools and our teachers. For example, today, this afternoon, we have a gathering just for teachers and educators, really all educators, just to celebrate what they do for the kids and the extra mile they go for their students. In addition, we provide communications to the community about our schools, the value of education. More recently, we've been talking directly to business leaders in our community and just sharing the value to them, what quality schools means. It's very hard to recruit people from other communities to move here if we don't have a good school system. And so we're happy to share the value of our school system with the business leaders, and it is important to them. They have really rallied for us. In addition, we raise private funds for public schools. We distribute that money in a variety of ways. It goes directly into the classroom primarily. We also do curriculum updates, provide professional development for our teachers. And noteworthy is that we started an endowment about 15 years ago, and that endowment is about to hit $4 million, which is just unbelievable.
That's really amazing.
And the goal is $5 million, so we're almost there. Yeah. Great confidence that that will happen. And that mark basically says that this foundation will survive pretty much anything because of the distributions off that endowment. And of course, I think that the next goal will be $10 million. So
The goal keeps getting bigger as you start achieving some of those some of those successes. But the way endowment works is the money is basically sequestered. You don't touch the capital. And so when people donate to an endowment, it helps fund the organization just from the interest that it accrues on that capital.
Yeah, I think a great analogy is it's like a 401k where you put money aside and you put it aside and you don't spend it. And then all of a sudden you start taking the distributions, and that contributes to your annual income when you retire.
That was very insightful of PAFE to set up the endowment, because it's really like a promise for the future. It's saying we're working now, but we also understand that this is needed into the future. So congratulations on that. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah, an endowment like that is a funding mechanism that colleges use a lot.
Mm-hmm, right.
And big colleges like Harvard has got a $1 billion endowment or something like that, some huge number. But it produces money for the operations without affecting that initial capital investment.
And for folks that want their money to stay solvent and stay working into the future, it's a perfect place for that, in that giving.
Yeah,
exist.
We've had a number of families contribute, set up their own endowment with their distributions going to public education. And that way, when they pass on, their legacy continues. And it just is people feel really good about supporting education.
Mm-hmm. Well, among the many programs that Pan Alliance for Education pursues, one of the big ones is early childhood education. And one of the programs that PAFE started, I don't know how many years ago, but it's really kind of a cornerstone, is Ready for Kindergarten. Tell us more about that.
Mm-hmm. Ready for Kindergarten is actually education for parents and caregivers of young children 0 to 5 years old. Parents and caregivers attend workshops. There are 3 workshops a year for every year that your child, the age is, so 0 to 1, 1 to 2. So a total of 15 unique workshops. And the workshops are taught by trained facilitators. They're actually teachers in our school district for the most part, so they're very good at being in front of people, and they have a curriculum that Ready for Kindergarten provides for us. It's kind of state-of-the-art in terms of learning. It's well understood now that the most learning possible takes place in a child's brain between 0 and 5 years old. And to really take advantage of that opportunity when the kids are just like a sponge soaking everything up that they see is to put toys in front of them and help them play with a purpose. And so every 3 months or so, parents come to a workshop. They get an understanding of what's happening to their child in that kind of age range, and then they get toys, and the workshop facilitator shows them how to play with the toys to teach things like shapes and sizes and sorting and letters and colors. And it seems very basic, and that's exactly what it is, but it starts building, and every year it builds more and more. And we're very proud of one piece of data that we have, and that is that 90% of the kids that enter kindergarten that have had at least their parent attend 2 or more workshops test at or above proficiency. Wow. And the average in both the country and the state is around, it's under 50%. It's in the low 40s. So we know that this program makes a real difference for the parents that can come and attend regularly and take home the message and read to their children 20 minutes a day. That's another goal that Ready sets for them. So it's really a very powerful program. The data proves its worthiness, and we just can't encourage enough to get parents there.
And so a parent has a little baby, and they want to get involved in this. How do they make contact and register? Mm-hmm. And when is the next time they can get involved?
Okay, so there is a workshop next Saturday, March 7th. Registration is open now, readysandpoint.org. You can register online. We're going to shut it down on Monday because we need that week to get all of the appropriate materials ordered, make sure the workshops are ready to go. So today and tomorrow and Friday, highly recommend if you're interested to get involved and do sign up. The classes, the workshops are held at Farm and Stidwell Elementary, and they start at, if you're new to the program, we have an orientation that starts at 9:30. Otherwise, the workshops start at 10 a.m. and go until about 11:30 or 12.
So these workshops that will happen, there'll be different age groups and different classrooms you can go into depending on the age of your child.
Right.
And how does reading and talking to your child, is that also a component of these workshops?
Absolutely. The fall workshops are always about letters and sounds, which ultimately becomes reading. The winter workshop, which was in January, is about math and logic. So more about numbers, counting, the ability to sort by color, And then this next workshop, it's the spring workshop, but I don't really consider this spring yet, but it is the spring workshop. It's about social and emotional development. So it's how your child settles in with a group of other children. How long can they concentrate on a task before they become kind of bored with it? So there's all kinds of ways of encouraging your child to play. And the more you play with them, the more they develop and progress and ultimately become ready for kindergarten. There is a list of kind of the things that make a child really enjoy kindergarten more. They just having a little bit of experience behind them, and the kindergarten teachers love this program. They can tell the difference with the kids that have had some ready training at home. And I say training, but it's really just playing. In fact, our kindergarten teachers, when they have a baby, they take ready classes. Mm-hmm. So that's like the seal of approval when you hear that kind of a story.
And right now, registration for the upcoming workshop is on, and it closes on Monday, and that you can go to readysandpoint.org.
Thank you. Yes, yes, exactly. Yeah.
And that's so important that the kids not start out behind. This gives this is the way parents can give their kids a leg up in their academic career. Because the kids start out behind, they can stay behind their entire career in school.
Yeah, the goal is to have kids reading by third grade, because after third grade, they really are expected to be able to read to learn. And if you're not reading, it's sad. You just it's hard to you just keep following behind more and more. Mm-hmm. and because everyone else is still moving forward, and if you're not moving forward with them, it just becomes a problem. And there are many opportunities between kindergarten and third grade to catch up, and the school district does a wonderful job of that. And one of the programs that the school district has for all first graders is the Lucky Puppy program. That's where every kindergartner gets a stuffed puppy, and that puppy becomes their non-judgmental reading partner. They read to their stuffed Labrador puppy. They name the puppy. They get a little birth certificate for the puppy. And then the more books they read, they can start earning collars and leashes and blankets and beds. And they really love their puppies. And just anecdotally, I'll say that there are many stuffed animals in the thrift stores. There is not a single Lucky Puppy in the thrift store.
They keep them.
They keep those puppies. They love those puppies. The grand finale at the end of the school year is they get to take them home. Mm-hmm. And those kids just cannot wait to share that puppy.
That was genius.
Mm-hmm. It really is just such a wonderful
program. Make learning
program.
Fun. And I have a feeling that these workshops for parents and the early ready program, it's fun for them, too, I'm
it
sure.
It is, yes. The parents, they get to meet each other, too. Mm-hmm. And while the kids, for the most part, are not in the workshops, the parents get to know each other. And those are typically the parents that they're going to go through school here with, because they have kids in the same age group. And as the children age, they run into these parents in sports, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so it's really nice for the parents as well. Mm-hmm.
Well, another signature program of the Pan Alliance for Education is your Teacher Grants program. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell us what that's about?
Well, it is the very first program that the founders actually started. And the idea, the genius behind this was giving the teachers a way of funding something that's really unique. And as a teacher, teachers are so creative, and they spend a lot of their own money doing fun things in their classroom. This gives them an opportunity to do something wonderful that's innovative, creative, and something that they know their kids are going to love. So every year, the Panhandle Alliance for Education provides about $100,000 in community supported funding, all volunteer funding, to provide grants for teachers. They can ask for anything from $50 to up to $10,000 for a school-wide grant. It's well known that there are two major impacts on student learning One is the home environment, and we hope to tackle that a little bit with the READY program. But the other is the classroom environment. And so when you enrich the classroom environment, it has a big impact on learning and student engagement. And so that's what these grants really do. I can just tell you a couple examples of this year, what's going on in the classrooms. For example, at Sandpoint High School, Nayla Morton has a grant called Custom it's kind of custom designed t-shirts. It's called CTE Student Run Business. So when you think about all the custom t-shirts that there are of need in this community, the students at Sandpoint High now have a business where you can order custom printed t-shirts for your team or a family gathering or any reason that you might want a custom designed t-shirt. And the students are learning how to run a business. They've bought the equipment with the grant money, and they're trying to pay back the grant money so that they see that businesses, while you can take out a loan, eventually you have to pay this back. We recently asked the students to create custom onesies. A onesie is a little cotton t-shirt with snaps for an infant, and we have a little message on it that's something to do with reading. I don't know what, but future reader, I think it says. And so we worked with the students. They came up with the design. We were kind of testing to see how this business was operating. And they showed us a sample. We made a few adjustments. And sure enough, we've got an inventory. I think we've ordered over 100 onesies. And those we give to the hospital when a baby is born. In addition to this free onesie that says, future reader, we provide books and literature on the importance of reading to your baby, and also an invitation to the Ready for Kindergarten programs.
Yeah. Such good work you guys are doing.
It's so fun.
So fun to hear about it.
The teachers are so creative with how they want to use these funds, and our community is so proud of what they're doing.
And we maybe squeeze in just a couple minutes on another program. I know that that APAEF is really looking at STEM and STEAM education.
Yeah, I think we did some strategic planning 2 years ago, and we recognized that when you project out 5 or 10 years, so many of the occupations are going to need really skills in the science, technology, engineering, and math. And so we decided to put an emphasis on programs in that area. And, of course, the school district was already doing this. It was like this was a no-brainer. But what's interesting is there has been no elementary STEM curriculum, new elementary STEM curriculum, since 2006. So more than 10 years old is the science curriculum, which, of course, science and technology is advancing every year, not, 10 years. So the school district is buying new curriculum, and we're kind of augmenting that with some science kits experiments, so the kids get some hands-on use. Hands-on helps kids remember what they're learning and kind of see it visually. And then also professional development for the teachers, so that the teachers have a much better insight in how to deliver the message and the importance of keeping abreast of the curriculum. Right now they're testing a couple different options on curriculum and kits, and then next year we'll be supporting that again when they start doing the purchasing. So that's kind of the major emphasis right now. A lot of the teachers were, their science program was 20 minutes a week, and it involved things that the teachers bought themselves. So this is really big for the school district and important to us.
Kind of opening that door for the students.
Yes, yes. Get them excited early on.
Early.
It's interesting that STEM, somewhere along the line, turned into STEAM. That's right. So science, technology, engineering, arts, and math.
Yeah, arts is so important because it teaches out-of-the-box thinking. It's more a creative process. And when you think about how things come into being, it isn't just 1, 2, 3. It's maybe 1, 5, 7, 9, and then you have this experience and you put that together, and that's how collaboration happens, and it is this organic kind of thinking and planning. And arts education really enforces that side of the brain that encourages creativity. And I think any computer programmer would tell you it's a very creative profession. It doesn't appear to be when you look at code, but having worked in the computer industry for many years, I found the engineers to be extremely creative and very artistic in a lot of ways, and interested in art as well. So it is the left brain and right brain that really make it powerful. Mm. And so we're embracing that.
There's a creativity involved in so many disciplines. Even a business major, there's a lot of creativity in running a business even. So encouraging that and helping build that that part of the fully educated person up is certainly important.
Oh, exactly. It's just recognizing that this is important and this is part of it. Mm-hmm. And I think any business person would say, yeah, it's how you buy equipment. It's your vendors, your partnerships, your
solving problems.
Yeah. How do you express the needs and the benefits? Mm-hmm. And so it is really important. So we've embraced that as well.
Fantastic. I think having a balance to your life is also part of it, because if you're just, you don't have it, you're not going to come back to really focusing on this science. And we're going to need great scientists, engineers, technicians in this very right now.
So, exactly.
Good job.
Yeah.
Well, we're about out of time, but we started out talking about Schweitzer Mega Demo Day. And that's this Saturday, February 29th, up at Schweitzer, of course. Opportunity for people to come up and try out all kinds of different skis from a whole bunch of different manufacturers and have a great day on the mountain. And it raises money for the Panhandle Alliance for Education. So this is how you can have fun and say, hey, I'm doing a good thing, too.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you very much, Marcy Wilson, for coming in, Executive Director of Panhandle Alliance for Education. And we're just going to take a few minutes to talk about a few things that are going on, and then we'll go out with a really great song by Donovan called Sunshine Superman. I think, isn't that one of your favorite songs, Chris?
It is right now, you bet.
Right now,
as of
absolutely.
Now, yeah.
Next week, as I said, on the morning show on Tuesday, we'll be talking with Bonner County Mike Rosedale Clerk and Senior Election Supervisor Charlie Worman. Next week on the Wednesday morning show, we have folks from the Forest Bird Charter School coming in to talk about some innovations that they're doing also with how they teach students. So you can stay tuned for that. And tomorrow on the morning show, Jim and Jack will be talking with Leah Southwell about her 7 years of living in Chile, South America. So that will be another one. 8 o'clock every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday morning. It's the morning show here on 88.5 KRFY. And what do you have over there, Chris?
Oh, I'm just, events going on in town. There's always there's some interesting things happening. And the best place to catch up on that is on our calendars, krfy.org.
And thanks to Sandpoint Online for giving us those wonderful calendars. And if you have an event coming up, you can always go to Sandpoint Online. It's pretty easy to put an event on there.
Yeah, there's a button that says submit an event, and it's in the left column. People don't always find it, but it's right there.
It's right there.
On the page, on the calendar page.
I always say, keep looking. It's on the left-hand side. Also, just a reminder, as we talked about earlier, it's the media survey time right now, hosted by Keoki and Sandpoint Reader. You can go to our website, krfy.org, and or to the Sandpoint Online and the Sandpoint Reader.
Yeah, and you find a link and you click it. It's a survey set up in SurveyMonkey. There's about a dozen questions. It takes about 6 minutes to fill it out.
Yeah.
And it just asks about the type of media you use and what you would like to see the media do better.
So right.
It's an important aspect of it.
Keep your favorite community radio station in mind and take that survey, I say. Okay, well, I think we're at the time that we can hear this song. We hope you have a beautiful day. Again, thank you, Marcy, for coming in. Marcy Wilson from Panhandle Alliance for Education. Really fun to hear about all the work you're doing, and we appreciate it. This is Donovan, Sunshine Superman.
Bye now.